The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, United Airlines, and Verizon.
We've got a jam-packed hour of Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Good evening, I'm Lauren Screeden, filling in for Zach Zaidman tonight. Normally, I co-host Inside the Bears with Anthony Adams, but in studio with me is a guy who doesn't look like Anthony Adams. I'm here with 85 Bear Tom Thayer. Alongside me, as well as former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, we've got Jeremy Langford chiming in later in the show. And as always, we are taking your phone calls throughout the entire hour. 312-644-6767 will answer anything NFL or Bears related. So throw some good questions at us. At the end of the hour, we'll award the best caller of the 60-minute show a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Again, 312-644-6767 is the number to call to talk to us. Big Bears news of the day today, Alshon Jeffrey has officially signed his franchise tag tender. Now, he can still get a long-term contract until July 15th. Obviously, guys, we knew this was coming, a little bit of a formality, but good to see that deal set in stone, right?
Yeah, I think it's good for both sides to get reconnected with each other, because it's got to be the commitment from Alshon Jeffrey that starts in the offseason, that carries through the regular season, and he's on the field every game. They brought in a new wide receivers coach who is really well-respected around the league, from the college ranks to the pro ranks. But I do think it gives the chance for the Bears to become attached enough to Alshon to get a long-term deal done. Because as a Bears fan, as a season ticket holder, I would like to see Alshon here in a really positive frame of mind, because I think that helps the quarterback position. I think it helps the running game. I think it helps Kevin White. And it even helps the slot receiving game and the tight end receiving game. So I'm happy that Alshon signed the deal, and the Bears are really trying to become a partner with Alshon for a portion of his career.
Yeah, I just don't get it, Tom, because I know a lot of players look at the franchise tag as almost the kiss of death when you have the opportunity to make that type of guaranteed money. And, you know, even John Elway, the general manager of the Denver Broncos, talked about it when he placed the franchise tag on some players where players withhold their services. You know, and they use it as a leverage point that they're going to stay away from the team facilities, the off-the-season workouts in terms of the conditioning, the OTAs, because, as Lauren pointed out, they basically have about 4 months to work out this long-term deal till basically midsummer. And then the player comes in, finally signs it, and a lot of times they're just not in good football shape. And I think for Alshon to make the commitment to sign it is a good a good faith signing that he's going to be with the Bears all offseason to work and eventually earn potentially that long-term contract he's looking for.
But, you know, Jim, too, it's one of the challenges of the new collective bargaining agreement. Because they have such a big window to be on their own, there does have to be a reflection that they have been putting some time in the gym on their own,
right,
and that it's going to carry over to the in-gym training that they have on their own, their facility that carries over to OTAs and everything.
Well, I agree with that, but this is what I don't get. When players don't sign their franchise tag, they're putting themselves at risk. The minute you sign that dotted line, that money is guaranteed. So let's, you know, think of players that are outside the building that don't sign the franchise tag, and they're out there, they're working out. Let's say they're on a field running routes or doing whatever in their personal workouts, and they get injured. Now that money's not guaranteed. Plus, you're not under the supervision of your team trainers, the weight coach, all the specialty people that are there to help you get in the best shape you can to be productive for your football team. So to me, it's somewhat dangerous that players don't sign it right away and just make the commitment and go in there and continue to work. Because ultimately, if the team sees that you're working and sees what's the progress that you're making, the team is going to be motivated even more to give you the long-term deal that you're potentially looking for.
Well, guys, we've got Alshon committed. Now we're looking at some other contract negotiations this week. We are on the cusp of free agency. Obviously, teams started talking yesterday to unrestricted free agents. Of course, a contract can't be executed until tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central Time. We're going to see some big moves around the league. So what is the mindset of Ryan Pace this week?
I think you have to upgrade talent specifically at certain positions. And I always say that we're not privileged to a lot of information that the scouts and the GMs and the coaches have. So as Bears fans, we have to look at what is the need of the Chicago Bears as the season concluded last year. Is it the linebacker position? Is it considerable depth at the defensive line position? Is it to get a powerful running mate on the other side of the line to get some pass pressure? Or is it the safety position and even cornerback? So, and again, where is the desire of the Bears fans out there? What position do they feel the biggest need is? To me, I still think it's on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, already the reports out that they're looking at Danny Trevathan. I think Tom and I have talked about that for many weeks, that they'd be interested in that speedy linebacker out there for Denver. And I don't know, Lauren, I almost feel like free agency already started when we're getting reports like Malik Jackson gets a 6-year, $90 million deal down there for Jacksonville. So I don't even get what this free agency window is all about. Just start free agency right now, as far as I'm concerned. But probably I think the Bears will go out, as Tom mentioned, look at the two top corners out there. Probably Sean Smith of the Kansas City Chiefs. I would think the Bears would like to talk to him. And I think they would like and be very interested in the services of Janoris Jenkins, L.A. Rams cornerback, who had a productive year. Look at both the players opposite those cornerback positions for those respective teams. Marcus Peters, a rookie draft pick from Washington. He was a defensive rookie of the year, playing opposite Sean Smith. And then you could say Tremaine Johnson, who got the franchise tag by the LA Rams. He basically benefited for all the work and production that really Janoris Jenkins sent his way. So I think one of those two corners, if the Bears could land it, it would be somewhat similar to what John Fox and John Elway did out in Denver when they targeted Aqib Talib, who that year was the top corner in free agency, and he landed that blockbuster $57 million deal to be a Bronco. And I think John Fox and Brian Pace want to go in that same direction.
You know, one thing I like going into free agency this year and even the draft, I like that they have Pernell McPhee, because I think he brought an attitude here with him defensively and inside the locker room as a leader in as far as the whole team is concerned, that they do have an attitude to go and look forward to. They do have a guy like Pernell McPhee can get the message across that they're looking for players that are going to come and dominate the division, to win the division, to get themselves in the playoff race. So I think last year's signing of Pernell McPhee is going to carry big dividends into this season in terms of what they're looking for and the help they need.
You know, we always hear about the right fit during free agency. From a player's point of view, how do you know it's a right fit when you're talking about which team to go to?
Well, I think, and I'll start it off, Tom. Say, you know, I've heard some people try to link Bruce Irvin, outside backer of the Seattle Seahawks, to the Bears. See, I just don't see that as a fit. He's a 4-3 outside linebacker in what Seattle has him do. And Seattle, as we know, they run a lot of zone coverage. And I think we've seen last year Vic Fangio, it sometimes will dabble in some man coverage where the Bears had some huge mistakes. But a guy like Danny Trevathan from Denver offers that type of position flexibility. He's played both inside backer positions in a 3-4 defense that Wade Phillips is running in Denver. Can get man coverage, has a lot of passes defensed. He is a speedy linebacker that can fly to the football and comes with a lot of tackles. Last year alone, he had 109 tackles for the Denver Broncos. That is a ton of production, but that's what we talk about when everybody talks about scheme fit. Where is a player best project? Danny Trevathan projects into the 3-4 defense that Vic Fangio wants to run. I don't think a guy like Bruce Irvin would do very well with what Vic Fangio is asking his linebackers to do.
Yeah, you know, I do think you have to investigate the individual assets of the player you're talking about in making sure that they can come into a setting that may have less talent surrounding them. Is it Maxwell, the defensive back that just got traded from Philly to Miami, Jim?
Yeah, Byron Maxwell.
Okay,
yep.
Now you put him on the Seattle defense and he shines. He looks like a stud player because he has this crowd influence at home and he's got it surrounded by great talent. You just have to make sure when you're investigating a player that you believe has free agency possibilities for your football team, can he come in here and be a guy that needs to be a leader in terms of the development of this football team, not taking the best player off of a great football team in hope that he can, you know, have unrealistic expectations for him.
All right, let's go out to the phones real quick. Greg in Rogers Park, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Greg.
Hi, guys. This is for Jim and Tom. Jim Miller, I just want to say thank you for all your years of service with the Bears. As a player and now as a broadcaster and announcer, you're really great. Tom, you're great too, but Jim, I really enjoyed you as quarterback. But on a serious note, I'm more old school, but I feel that last year and all the last 4 or 5 years, strong safety has been a bad position for the Bears. What I mean by that is it seems like with the evolution of the tight end getting more passes and being able to be faster and stronger, our strong safeties are, to me, very vital in stopping that. It seems like, too, some of these running backs were getting free in the back, and then our safeties weren't able to give the type of help. I was, you know, and again, I know they have a lot of holes, but I feel they really need to get a good, strong safety. I was wondering, is that better addressed in free agency or in the draft?
Well, both. There's, and Tom and I brought this up last show. The draft is pretty heavy with safeties in this year's draft, so that could be a potential avenue if they don't address it in free agency. And there's a lot of good safeties in free agency. George Iloka from Cincinnati is a free agent. Tashawn Gibson is out there. I bring up Rashad Johnson of the Arizona Cardinals because he's run a lot of man coverage. When you think of the blitzing scheme of what Arizona runs, he's single high safety quite a bit. He can get in the box. He had 5 interceptions last year. Is adept at man-to-man coverage. You know, there's other players out there that are, you know, Mark Barron is another safety that's out there. But so I think there's some possibilities for the Bears in free agency to potentially land a safety that Tom really kicked off the program in areas that the Bears are weak defensively.
I agree.
Appreciate the phone call. Thanks for the kind words.
All right, we've got Jeremy Langford on the line. Jeremy, how's it going?
It's going good. How are you doing?
Good. Now, Jeremy, first, we got to talk. You were in Panama last week with Marquise Wilson, Willie Young, Kyle Fuller. Inside the Bears was there. I mean, how was that being in Panama?
Well, it was a fun trip. You know, we get to interact with the fans, you know, truly diehard fans. And it felt good to be around people, you know, who really support the Bears a lot. So it was fun. We all had a good time.
Hey, Jeremy, after the season concluded, how long did it take? You're a young guy. How long did it take your body to get, you know, the freshness back into it so you can start the off-season preparation?
I mean, it took a little while, but, you know, I didn't play too much during the beginning of the season. Well, I didn't get banged up too much in the beginning of the season. So at the end of the season, I wasn't too banged up at all, but it didn't take that long. Not at all. As long as I got a couple of weeks, you know, just relaxing and resting my mind. Really just mentally, I think, was the hardest thing for me because coming as a rookie, we went a year strong. So mentally, it took a little longer.
Did you think later in the year, did you feel you hit the rookie wall, quote unquote? Because as you mentioned, it wasn't until mid-year you really started logging a lot of carries. And you didn't really see, at least I didn't, Jeremy, any drop-off in terms of your play. Did you hit the rookie wall your rookie season?
No, I mean, I caught myself in meetings, you know, just because it was a long season. So I caught myself in meetings, like kind of, you know, like lose a little focus, but I think the coaches did a great job of, you know, keeping us aware of the rookie role and making sure we did our best and did we have to do to try to avoid that. So I think the coaches did a great job of helping us with that.
Hey, what type of influence was the room on you as you were getting ready, prepared to play? You looked at the talent that was in the room at the start of the season with Jacquez, and you got Matt Forte, and you got the other crew in there, and the Kadeem. How was that room led, and how did you end up fitting into that room?
You could tell, you know, from the beginning that, you know, Matt Forte was definitely the leader in there, and our coach Stan Drayton did it, was also a leader. So they just both, you know, helped us realize what we're trying to win, what we're trying to do, and it was how we have to play. So I think just really just being around those veteran guys who've been in the league for a long time and won games, like Jacquez, they all kept it in our mindset. This, you know, regardless who out there, we want to work hard and be the toughest group in the room. On the team and help impact the way best way we can.
That's a good point, Jeremy, because I know you were, at least Matt Forte was very gracious in taking you under his wing and to help you along your rookie season in the National Football League. And let me ask you, as you see Matt Forte moving on in free agency, how impactful that was to you and how you're going to take that and carry it forward for the Chicago Bears?
Oh, yeah. I think, man, that's a lot, just paying forward to realize, you know, how to business of football goes. And I think Matt Forte was a great running back, and I feel, you know, to be blessed to be behind someone like him and to do the things he did for me. So it's only the right thing to do is, you know, when my time comes and there's another right back behind me, to do the same thing as well.
You know, Jeremy, last year you get ready for the combine, you have your pro day, you have the exhausted approach of the draft and everything. Now you have a little bit more time on you, that you have to take the personal control of your future by getting into the weight room, making sure you spend personal time going to the gym yourself. How are you able to transition from the exhaustive search of last year to having a little bit more time on your shoulders this offseason?
For me, just really just, you know, asking the veterans around. I mean, asking the veterans what they do in their offseason. They try to get a game plan for me. I think, like I said, you know, me being around Matt, so I asked him a lot, you know, how he transitioned to the offseason. So they helped me a lot. So just me being in Chicago right now, and I go to building every day. So that's, you know, I work out there. So it's a good thing. There's a lot of players up here.
Well, Jeremy, this is my last question. Appreciate your time. You know, a week ago, I would have been watching you blazing up the combine. You ran one of the fastest 40s there at the combine. How is your training going to change this year and how you prepare yourself for the rigors of the NFL?
I think it's be, you know, more conditioning wise, you know, try to maintain, stay in the shape, a lot more conditioning, you know, not as much track. I feel like, you know, combines is a track event. It would be more actual, you know, running back drills and just keep myself conditioned and staying fresh and not burning myself out too much.
All right, Jeremy.
Or OTA start.
Thanks so much for joining us. We've got to take a quick timeout.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Keep those calls coming. 312-644-6767. You're listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Looking for some fun this weekend? Join me and my co-host Spice Adams for Inside the Bears, brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs Saturday night at 6 on My50 and Sunday at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. This week, like I said earlier, we hit the beach with some of your favorite Bears in Panama, so you don't want to miss it. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. I'm Lauren Screeden, filling in for Zach Zaidman. I've got Tom Thayer and Jim Miller alongside me, and we're going to go out to the phones right away. We've got Wayne in Lafayette, Indiana. Wayne, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Wayne.
Hey, thank you, guys. Hey, good talking to you guys again, Mr. Thayer.
What do you got, Wayne? What's on your mind?
I'm wondering if you guys think if the second – I hear the second best tackle in the draft is going to be there when the Bears pick, or if you think they should take him, or they should take the best linebacker available. And what do you think – if you think the bridges are unrepairable between Martellus Bennett and the Bears, or you think they should talk to him and get things worked out, or you think he's out of town?
All good questions, man. Hey, well, you may have a little insider information. What do you got out of Ronnie Stanley, the Golden Domer, Tom?
Well, you know what, Jim? I was surprised to see that one of the draft beatniks had picked Ronnie Stanley to be with the Bears at the 11th pick. I don't know if he's going to be around. But to me, I think there's a talent group here at the offensive tackle position that's worth growing, worth cultivating. Allow head offensive line coach Dave Magazoo to get more of a hands-on approach with this young group of offensive tackles, because Kyle Long is still young. Charles Leno Jr. is a young man. Teo Fabaluje is a young guy. And they have other guys in the making. So to me, I think there's more of a need defensively when I could go out and find, they're talking about this top-tier talent defensively, where you could get a high first-rounder in the mid-first-rounder, or else you could get a first-round considered talent even into the second round. So, you know, Jim, I'm still wanting to see if the Bears are going to win the division, how do they beat Aaron Rodgers? Now that Calvin Johnson is retired, what can they do to continue to slow down Detroit, and how are they going to put some more abuse against Adrian Peterson in Bridgewater up in Minnesota?
I agree with that, and I think John Fox was onto it out in Denver. How do you build a defense? It's got to get after the quarterback. Look what Denver did to Tom Brady. I mean, they destroyed him. They destroyed, you know, it almost looked like the invincible guy that nobody could ever get to Tom Brady. And Denver in that championship game, I think was a game changer. And I think that's what really Ryan Pace and John Fox are going to try to do. So I'm a need-based guy. I think whatever you don't collect in free agency or players you're not able to sign, what can you target in the draft to fulfill the needs that you're looking for? That's how I've always looked. That's why in last year's draft, everybody was criticizing Ryan Grigson, general manager of the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, everybody knew they had a need on the offensive line, and they draft the receiver. Out of Miami, and everybody's like, whoa, what's going on? Because that wasn't really a need-based pick. And I think historically, if you look at teams, they are going to draft for need for areas that they missed out on in free agency.
Well, I still think they have to understand it's a complete team concept. You're not going to have one individual and say it's Andrew Luck, and he's going to be the savior of those other 10 guys offensively. Peyton Manning was able to do that in his career in Indianapolis, kind of make players that – looked better than they were actually playing because he was so clever at the line of scrimmage. To me, I still think the Bears are in a need of making sure that they have that full complement of a roster to go out there and create more of a competitiveness around here.
All right, guys, I want to shift focus a little bit. Let's talk about Lovie Smith's first college head coaching job at the University of Illinois. He spent the last two seasons with Tampa Bay. Now, Lovie had an overall record of 8-24 there. What makes him appealing to a college team?
Jim's a Big Ten guy. You started out.
I knew Jim would have something to say about this one.
But believe it or not, probably an old pal and friend of Lovie Smith, Ron Turner, has ties to Illinois. And from what I understand, leadership at Illinois had reached out to Ron Turner and requested Lovie Smith's number. And I think Ron Turner was more than willing to oblige. And, for me, it says a lot about Lovie that how much he loves coaching and how much he loves football to return to the college ranks, because I think he knows when he just got released by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the opportunities weren't going to be there in the National Football League. And so I think for him, I do think he has the ability to relate to young kids. I think he'll have to get caught up to the social side of things, because I think we know social media, a lot of these college coaches are very active on social media. And I think Lovie Smith will be hip to that. And I think a lot of kids, coming out of high school and parents will be influenced by Lovie Smith to make a commitment to the University of Illinois for what Lovie Smith stands for what he's accomplished in the National Football League. And I think that they know their son's going to be in good hands, not only learning the game of football in a winning style of way, but also what he's going to do to those young players as he molds them into men. So I think that is a terrific hiring by University of Illinois.
Right. The Big Ten coaching staffs now, I mean, they got a list of who's at this level. And you talk, from Michigan State, now from Illinois, Ohio State, and they have other coaches, but those guys specifically, I think the Illinois did a great job in hiring Lovie. And I would hope that Lovie would dedicate himself to the Illinois athlete, to get the football players that grow up here in the high school ranks to come and support University of Illinois. We just had a kid from my high school, Josh Ferguson, had a nice, long, successful career at the University of Illinois. He was in the combine, really performed well at the running back position. And you can succeed at University of Illinois. You can get an education, and you can play in a quality sports atmosphere. So if Lovie could be that attachment to the athletes that we have here in our own state, I think he can upgrade the talent level at University of Illinois tremendously. And, I went to Notre Dame, but I am very supportive of Lovie Smith and for his opportunity at University of Illinois. And I do hope some kids really take a strong look at that school and come here to support our state and support Illinois.
That's a great point you made, Tom, about winning the recruiting battle within the state. Obviously other colleges like Northwestern and that they're going to be competing against. And, let's face it, the proximity to other schools is going to be difficult. But it's about landing that primetime guy. I remember when I played at Michigan State, because obviously – for Michigan State, it was, hey, we've got to get every year they competed to land the best player in the state of Michigan. Because if you win the state in recruiting, that's really going to be your base, and it's going to be your marquee player that's really a foundational player. And I remember both Michigan and Michigan State lost out to your alma mater, Tom, Notre Dame, when Jerome Bettis, right? Detroit
right.
Catholic
yep.
Central committed there to Notre Dame. And I just remember when I arrived at Michigan State's doorstep, he said, man, that's the one that got it away. George wanted Jerome Bettis. And I think if Lovie Smith can land an in-state primetime player, that is really going to put Illinois on the map, because after that, I would think the sink and the faucets are going to start to flow. Well, more players will want to be a part of Lovie Smith and what he's got going on.
I'm glad you brought up Northwestern, because Coach Fitzgerald, he deserves the same credit that all the rest of these these coaches are getting in the Big Ten. He's done an incredible job at Northwestern, but I do like the fact that Illinois went out and kind of stepped outside the boundaries and went and got a quality coach in Lovie Smith.
All right. We'll have to take another break here, but more on Lovie Smith and Bears talk coming up after this break. The official tablet app of the Chicago Bears, Bears Daily, powered by Xfinity, is now available for free download. Search Bears Daily for the latest team news, videos, photos, and more. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. I'm Lauren Screeden, filling in for Zach Zaidman. I've got Tom Thayer and Jim Miller alongside me answering questions. And let's go out to the phones. Let's go to Darren in Haywarden, Iowa.
Hey, Darren.
Hey, good morning, Tom and Jim. Okay, I got a question to ask you. I do know that DeForest Buckner is not going to be at number 11, but boy, I should like to see it. But how about A'shaun Robinson from Alabama? Do you think he'd be a good fit?
I think he would be a terrific fit for the Chicago Bears. Scheme flexibility and what Lauren talked about, fitting a team. 3-4 defense run at Alabama under Nick Saban. He can play nose tackle. He can play five technique, and he does have pass rush ability. This guy is a mountain of a man when you look at A'shaun Robinson of Alabama. So I think it would be a good fit. You could spell Eddie Goldman at the nose tackle spot in some cases to keep guys fresh, because I forget the number of combinations. I think there were 13 different defensive line rotations in terms of guys that played last year for the Chicago Bears, and I think they really want to solidify that with a core group of guys moving forward. So he would be an excellent selection. And I also talked about in free agency, Damon Harrison, nose tackle from the New York Jets. That guy is a heck of a football player if the Bears could ever entice him in free agency to sign with Chicago.
You know, the two names he brought up are the college kids. Buckner's the Oregon kid who's the 6'7" frame. And then you got the guy from Alabama that's more standard defensive line build. You would have to have, I think, two different jobs projected for each of these individuals, depending upon if you did have any draft interest in them. Because I don't know, you're not going to take a 6'7" guy and put him on the nose, but he can rush over the offensive guards in a nickel scenario and play over the offensive tackles in a regular defense. But when you're looking at a defensive lineman, where can they be used a majority of the time to strengthen your defense? So I do, think you do have to look at the size and the structure of the defensive linemen and where do you think they can fit. You know, Eddie Goldman, he's really has some great instincts for a young guy. He played better than he played good football last year as a rookie. So I expect him to elevate his game tremendously. But I do believe he's got the style to move up and down the line of scrimmage and play where they would need him most.
Keep those phone calls coming, 312-644-6767. Don't forget, we'll award the best caller a gift certificate to Sports Authority at the end of the show. Now, guys, as we're going through free agency this week, Ryan Pace is in his second year here with the Bears. Does he have a better understanding this year than he did in his first year?
I think so. Just for the opportunity to go through the experiences of what he did from the day he got hired last year. Not only are you moving a family to a different location, getting to understand the territory you live in, you know, how you're going to acclimate yourself to everyday life that's going to be supportive to your family. And then you think of the organization that you're in control of. You understand the talent. You have a better understanding of your head coach and the coordinators and their goal and what it takes to be successful. And then you understand the personalities of the players. And some you've succeeded with and some you've had failures with. So I think it's really going to be fun to watch the combination of Ryan Pace, who I still consider a young guy because he's a lot younger than me, but you have the experiences of John Fox, who has experienced everything in the NFL. He's a great talent evaluator. He knows how to get the most out of his football team. He has challenging practices at training camps that these guys know they're not just going to slide through. So I do think this is going to be one of the better combinations in year two of developing a team, an organization, and a roster that's going to go out there and be a lot more competitive.
All right, let's take another phone call here. We've got Chris in Midway. Chris, you're on Bears All Access.
Thank you. Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Chris.
My question is, if later in the draft you see a position that you can add depth to, would you rather draft someone for that position or grab someone from free agency just to add that experience and depth?
Well, I think you're always trying to build up the back of your roster. I think everybody understands that, you know, typically later in the draft, one, you're going to draft traits, all right? Fabelouge is a perfect example of that. Tom brings up the big offensive lineman that the Bears drafted last year. Why did they draft him and draft him late? Because of the traits. Look at the size. You can't coach that when you got the Taos type of size and what you can develop from a player. I always bring that up about Big Cat Williams. You remember this, Tom. He was a defensive lineman at Cheney State.
Hated it.
Yeah, defensive lineman at Cheney State that converted to offensive line. You know, Seattle does that repeatedly with their offensive linemen. So I think later in the draft, you're drafting certain traits. You're building up the back end of your roster, i.e. core special teamers, you know, backers, gunners, guys like that, that have intriguing traits like exceptional speed and are good football players but can contribute to your special teams units in the core special teams, and you can develop them into really good football players. And the guy that the Bears are developing or are targeting in free agency, Danny Trevathan, that was his path into the National Football League, and now he's a star linebacker for the Denver Broncos, free agent, and potentially the Bears could target a guy like that.
You know what, Jim? Nowadays in the draft, because there's only seven rounds, there is no wasted round. There is no – every round that no matter where you get drafted, you're coming to the team with respect because you don't have the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th round where you can take a chance on a guy just because maybe you heard – good rumors about him. You look at a guy like Adrian Amos, was it the fourth round out of Penn State?
Yep.
And he was inserted after the first preseason game. So, again, you can gain respect every time you get an opportunity to get on the practice field. And I think seventh rounders can carry as much value as first or second or third rounders. And you see it every year out there, and you look at what the talented guys that become free agents and ultimately become starters. But sixth and seventh round can mean as much as first, second, and third.
Time for another quick timeout. You're listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. The phones are open, 312-644-6767. We've got Steve and Joliet coming up right after this. Don't go away. Join the season ticket priority list for the future opportunity to become a Bears season ticket holder. Visit ChicagoBears.com to join now. Welcome back to Bears All Access. Let's go out to Steve in Joliet. Steve, what do you got for us?
Hey, good evening, everyone, guys. Thanks for being great Chicago Bears. I appreciate that. Hey, we all know trades are difficult in the NFL, but just talk about what a potential Martellus Bennett for Jimmy Graham trade. We all know the relationship side of it, you know, the brothers and Ryan Pace, you know, in New Orleans. But if you could talk about how the money might work out possibly, and also scheme-wise, how that would work out for both teams.
Well, I would love to address the scheme real quick. I just think that, you know, the Bears are still going to concentrate on using the running game to help the passing game. And if you did have bring a guy like Jimmy Graham here, is more used to spreading out as a wide receiver in a non-influential blocker, I don't need that. I would really rather develop a young tight end, the tight ends they have, and try to get some growth out of that position from there. But the trade potentials, Jim, you probably are more well-schooled on that possibility.
Yeah, well, can work out, because obviously the player can kill the trade if it's in his contract, that he's got a no-trade clause, those type of things, or he can really request the destination of the trade. Obviously, what went down, what Tom brought up earlier, and let's not forget, because this is just the tampering window, and free agency starts tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Technically, these deals are not effective until 4 p.m. Eastern time. So let's say a failed physical by either Byron Maxwell or Kiko Alonso could really negate that trade that went down a day ago, or DeMarco Murray and these other things that have been reported going from Philly to the Tennessee Titans. It could come with a trade where it's a restructure, meaning that the team that is taking on, say, Martellus Bennett or any other player, we've seen a lot of players have to redo their contract or maybe it's just too big of a contract. I think you'll see that come down the pipeline for Byron Maxwell, potentially, of the Miami Dolphins, who was just added in that trade from Philadelphia. Years to the contract, you know, you can just do a whole new contract where maybe you prorate the signing bonus, so that factors in. And then, of course, the compensation. What's the compensation going to be in the draft? Like, we still, it hasn't been reported that trade of Kiko Alonso and Byron Maxwell, and I'm just using that as the example to Miami. Have we heard what the compensation is? You know, so how many draft picks is it? Are they swapping picks maybe in the first round? So all those things have to be clarified and agreed to, and obviously they are as it's being reported, but we still don't have the dirty details of these deals. But they normally, there's other things involved.
You're listening to Bears All Access, 312-644-6767. Back to the phones. Marty McHenry, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Marty.
Hi. I was just wondering, with the I know we have the problems we've had on defense, but with the 11th pick, would it be smarter to try to protect the quarterback with the best offensive lineman, or would it be smarter to shore up the defense with a pass rusher?
You know, Marty, that's such a valuable question, because you do have to score on offense, but you also have to get pressure to Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, and Bridgewater up in Minnesota. So to me, again, selfishly, after watching the Bears go through their paces last season, I see if they could be more destructive defensively because of what they're thinking offensively with the combination of the running game, passing game, and the continuous development of Jay Cutler. I think that the offensive line coach, Dave Magazoo, can bring talent in here and develop a core offensive lineman, a solid offensive line, because he showed he was able to do it last year. When the center got hurt a couple different times, Will Montgomery got hurt, and then they had to go to Sloss, and then they had to go to Hronis Grassou. He was able to make all those changes, not to mention the two other the offensive guards, Vlad Dukas and Patrick Omame, that were involved in the lineup too. So to me, I'm still looking at defensive line to be the main focus of helping the entire defense, because you're not going to allow these linebackers to run around if they're not being protected by quality defensive line play. So, again, I still have my sights set on helping the defensive side of the ball. Jim, I don't know what you think or if you agree.
No, I agree completely, and I think there's going to be a lot of good players there at the 11th spot that the Bears will be right in the Bears' wheelhouse. You know, if I do believe like a player like DeForest Buckner out of Oregon is gone. I mean, he's getting compared to Calais Campbell, who's a hell of a defensive end down there for the Arizona Cardinals. But guys that we've talked about, A'shaun Robinson, you know, another guy from Alabama, Bears need linebacker help. Would Reggie Ragland be a good fit? That's a good inside backer in a 3-4 defense, one of the better ones. I don't know, is Miles Jack going to be there from UCLA? Yes, he's coming off an ACL, but I've heard teams looking at him as somewhat of a Cam Chancellor role, like what Seattle uses Cam Chancellor in, because he's that great of an athlete. He played running back, has played safety, has played a linebacker at UCLA, and maybe that's a guy, if you're thinking outside the box, and we know the Bears need safety help, is Ryan Pace and John Fox looking at Miles Jack the same way that other teams are looking at Miles Jack and what he can bring to a football team.
Time for another quick break. You're listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. We'll see you back here in a couple minutes. Welcome back. You're listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. I'm Lauren Screeden in for Zach Zaidman. I've got Tom Thayer and Jim Miller alongside me. Now, guys, couple retirements this week. Obviously, Peyton Manning around the NFL. But today, Calvin Johnson retires after 9 seasons. Now, we're all very familiar with what Megatron can do. Where does he rank in receivers?
You know, I was disappointed when Barry Sanders retired too early. And I'm kind of disappointed in Calvin Johnson because I'm so enamored with his ability, with his size, his structure, and what he was able to do for Detroit through all the lean years that he had to go through. And so... selfishly, I'm a Bears fan, so I don't care. The biggest struggle it's going to be is for Matthew Stafford, because I think if you look at the stats attributed to Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford, I think Matthew Stafford has a great security blanket in Calvin Johnson, where he can throw it to this catch radius and Calvin Johnson can catch it anywhere. So to me, I'm going to miss just the Megatron of his ability, because you just don't see guys like that. And even though he's on another team, just like Barry Sanders was or Brett Favre throughout the Bears division, it was always fun to watch him. So, You know, Jim, I'm going to miss him as a fan of football, but I think Matthew Stafford will miss him more.
There's no doubt about that. It's a double whammy for Detroit. You know, two decades ago that you mentioned, Tom, Barry Sanders walks away from the game, and now probably the NFL's all-time, what could have been the all-time greatest receiver, when he actually eclipsed Jerry Rice's yardage record. I think it was back in 2012 when he had over 1,900 yards and passed Jerry Rice for a single season in receiving yardage. But, I mean, it's a dagger. As everybody knows, Detroit's my hometown, and they just can't believe it. They are stunned that two probably the most prolific players, at the top of their game where they were at in their careers, walk away from the Detroit Lions. So it's devastating. You know, what's surprising for Detroit is you think about how much too high safety that team, you know, because Calvin Johnson, you're going to double him, right? You're going to have a high safety over the top. Why couldn't the Detroit Lions run the football? They were horrific. And now you mentioned, Tom, that now without Calvin Johnson, teams are going to be loading up the box because they don't have a guy who commands secondary coverage on the side that Calvin Johnson lies up to. So was still a dominant player, 9 years in the National Football League, triple coverage. He'd be coming down because he's just such a physical freak, and why he was given that nickname Megatron. So, you know, to me, it's, you know, you got Charles Woodson this year, Peyton Manning this year, and now Calvin Johnson. Now, will he stay retired? I think a lot of people are wondering if, you know, he gets the itch come September. But he did file his papers with the NFL. And, you know, but if he does stay retired, to me, he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
You can't do it, though, Jim. There's no way that you can sit on your couch until September and think that you're just going to come in and play a wide receiver position. If you're not logging those hours on the track and running your sprints and making sure that your lower body is capable of doing the requirements of the job. And I think through Calvin Johnson's career, his maybe worst average per season might have been 13.7, and then he went as high as 17.1. So now you're going to take a 6'6 frame and a double digit per catch away from that offense. I think you're going to see it be, you know, you're going to struggle to find a guy that can even give you any type of, you know, a compliment of Calvin Johnson's ability.
Well, maybe they're thinking Laquon Treadwell coming out in the draft. He'd probably be in their wheelhouse with the first round pick. But man, that is tough to lose a player of that productivity and stature. And I'm with you, Tom. I mean, he has been beaten up. Probably the last two seasons, I think, has worn on him. Because he was out there, a lot of, you know, just, again, living in Motown, a lot of weeks he couldn't even practice. He just show up for the games, and he's still out there. Even look at the week 16, or the last week of the season against the Bears. The guy had 127 yards and 10 receptions for Calvin Johnson. So still a good player, can play, but probably the dissatisfaction of constantly losing, especially this year, the way it went for the Detroit Lions. And obviously the nagging injuries just became too much and, you know, typical fashion. He didn't even have a press conference, just kind of walked away from the game and issued a statement. Very humble guy, and has been dominant his 9 years in the NFL.
So, Jim, you mentioned the wear and tear. You mentioned the dissatisfaction. What else is it? What factors are there that go into making the decision to walk away and to retire?
Well, I think if you're not having fun playing the game and your mind is already checked out the door, where it's a chore to go into work and you don't enjoy playing the game that you grew up loving, I do think it's time to walk away from football. You know, just from my personal standpoint, when I found myself spending more time in the training room than honing my craft out there practicing with my teammates, for me that was no fun. Football became a chore, and you know, I just think that can wear on you a little bit, especially the up and down seasons, the lack of winning that Detroit has had. Granted, they've been to the playoffs twice with Matthew Stafford at the quarterback, but it's been gut wrenching, and I do think that wears on you as a player. And you know, so maybe those are maybe just some insights and some thoughts. I think he kind of alluded to that, but I think at that point, when you've kind of checked your mind out, it's time to walk away from the game.
You know, and being a player, it is not fantasy football, because I had the fantasy. I was in the last year, 2 years of my career. I had a two-year deal with the Miami Dolphins. I played a year down there. Who wouldn't want to play for the Dolphins?
Right.
But as soon as I had to be dedicated to the offseason, and I knew that I didn't have the mindset to dedicate to the offseason what it would take out of me during the season, I knew I had to quit. And I think that's one of the key elements for all these guys, is it's harder work to be ready for the season. And the older you get, the more you have to do in the off season. And sometimes it's hard to push yourself in the gym or to the track or to the stationary bike or what element you're working on every day to make sure that you can be a contributor and not just an injury waiting to happen.
It is time to decide on the best caller of the show, brought to you by Sports Authority. And I'm going to have to go with Marty from McHenry, who talked about the offensive versus defensive line. Tom, you like that one.
Well, I do. I think there's, because there's a lot of questions at, on both sides of the football. And I think you make the rest of your football team better by concentrating on the power up front, offensively and defensively. So I like where Marty was going with it, because even though the Bears have a lot of question marks at the conclusion of the season, we talked about now the experiences of John Fox and Ryan Pace being together for a longer period of time, and they understand the susceptibility of the Bears and where they need to strengthen. And it's hard to ask an offensive lineman where they would want to pick first, because I do think it's up front where right now it's needed the most. Or, I mean, I think you really need that power base to make sure all the other positions are strong.
And we'll have a couple of questions answered after 3 p.m. tomorrow with free agency, right?
Oh, man. Jim, I know that you got a lot of work over the next 48 hours, but I think you're going to see a whirlwind day tomorrow.
Absolutely. Well, hey, look at all that's going on. You got retirements. Tenders are being placed. We already got done with the franchise tag. Here you got restructures that are out there. Players visiting certain teams. So there is a lot going on right now. It is an exciting time in the National Football League.
Definitely an exciting time. For Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, I'm Lauren Screeden. In for Zach Zaidman. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Thanks for listening on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Thanks for listening. Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Your All Access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by FanDuel, MasterCard, and Verizon.